Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, I have a question for you this morning, and the question is this: how is your fear factor? You know, with all the troubles in our world today, it is easy to look around at the wars, the rumors of wars, corruption in government, corruption in elections, inflation, violent crime, economic instability, looming socialism. I mean, just everywhere you look, there is trouble. So are you looking around and finding your heart filling with fear, or are you trusting in the Lord and resting in the Lord and knowing that as we see all this take place, as Jesus said, look up and be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. You know, some people walk around with headline hysteria, and others walk around saying, praise the Lord, it's getting gloriously dark, Jesus is coming soon. So for you, how is your fear factor? I was thinking this morning about a song, an old hymn that was written by a Presbyterian minister and composer of over 2,000 hymns. His name was Elisha Hoffman, and in 1877, he wrote the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Think about these words. He says, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then the third stanza, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Now, you have a problem with fear. I have a problem with fear. We have a problem with fear. The very first time we read about someone being afraid is Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, ate the fruit that God commanded them not to eat, and then the Lord came down in the cool of the day, as was his practice, to walk with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, and the Lord called out to the man, where are you? And Adam said to him, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. First time we hear about fear. Now, sin brings fear. And the Bible talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessings and the curses chapter. You know, the Lord says, if you obey me, I will bless you. But if you don't, I will curse you. And there's one particular passage in Deuteronomy 28 that really kind of hits at the pinpoint of the problem. The Lord says this, in the morning you shall say, would that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, would that it were morning, because of the dread of your heart which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And the Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships by the way about which I spoke to you. You will never see it again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. I think that is so poetic. In the morning, there's no peace, and you want it to be evening. And in the evening, you have no peace, and you want it to be morning. And lots of people live like that. They're just in angst all the time. And these are people, many of them, who call themselves Christians. Now, I've been preaching through the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights at First Baptist Texarkana. And last night, we looked at Genesis chapter 15, God's covenant with Abram, whose name got changed to Abraham. And it's the first time in Scripture that the Lord says to an individual, do not fear. The Scripture says this, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Now, Abram is is the man who's going to have his name changed to Abraham, from exalted father, Abram, to father of a multitude, Abraham. And to call Abram his name exalted father, well, he doesn't have any children, so that's kind of a sting. But then the Lord to change his name to Abraham, the father of a multitude, when he still has no children, that is almost like a cruel joke. Now, God promised that Abraham was going to have children like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the sky. Your descendants are going to be great. You're not going to be able to count them. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. But that didn't come right away. And we read in Genesis 14 that when the king, Chedorlaomer, came from the north and attacked the cities, Sodom and those other cities, and took Lot, Abram's nephew, as part of the spoil, and went way up north to Dan. That's a long, long way, many, many miles away. Well, Abram got his servants together, and he had 300 plus in his little band of marauders, and they went and they attacked those kings at Chedorlaomer, and he recovered all the spoil that was taken, and he got Lot back. And he came back down to his home, but he came back down with fear, because when you attack a king and the other kings, the Bible calls that attack that Abraham did on those guys the slaughter of the kings, there's going to be retaliation. And he knew there was going to be retaliation, and he was afraid. And that's why the Lord came to him saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you." Now, stands to reason, the only time you would tell somebody, the only time the Lord would tell somebody, "Do not be afraid," is because they're afraid. If you're not afraid, it doesn't make sense to say, "Do not be afraid." Okay, well, I wasn't afraid. But when you hear any time in Scripture the Lord saying, "Do not be afraid," it's because the person is afraid. And Abram was afraid, and the Lord told him, "Hey, you don't need to fear. I will be your shield, and I am a shield to you. I will protect you. I am your bodyguard." Isn't that wonderful to know that? Jeremiah, who had such trouble and the people just hated him because of his message, he said, "The Lord is with me like a dread champion." How wonderful to know that God is with me like a dread champion. Hey, he's my shield. He's my bodyguard. Who can mess with God? Nobody. God is almighty. And when the Lord says, "I'll be your shield," nobody messes with the dread champion. And nobody can get you when the Lord is protecting you. So we have that word that comes from God to Abram: "Don't be afraid. I will greatly reward you." I like how it says in the King James when he says, "I will be your exceeding reward." Not just that God will reward you, Abram, but God himself will be your reward. And you're afraid, but you don't need to be afraid, because I am with you. Isn't that good news? Hey, we've all perhaps had the experience of, as a little kid, getting scared at night. My daughters would get scared at night. It's just a normal thing for kids to be afraid, and they have a bad dream or something. They wake up in the middle of the night, they hear a noise. And so oftentimes when the kids were growing up, there would be one at my bed. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. They're staring at me. And, you just have that sense, even in a dead sleep, somebody's looking at you, and you wake up and there's somebody standing over you. And then I'm afraid. And anyway, I can still remember they would say, "Daddy, I've had a bad dream." And I would just say, I'd open up the covers and just say, "Well, you can come in here with me. I'll protect you." And so their little bodies would just relax when I put my arms around them, because they knew Dad's going to protect me. I'm not alone. He's here with me, and nobody can whip Dad. And so that's what the Lord says to us. I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid. And I have a plan for you. And he tells Abram in Genesis chapter 15, you're going to live a long time. You're going to die at a ripe old age. His age was 175. So, hey, if you're facing fear today, if you got a bad report at the doctor and the word came back, you have cancer, and your heart just floods with fear. I mean, nobody wants to hear that report. I have a dear friend in our church who went to the doctor. He was feeling poorly. He went for what he thought was going to be a routine test of some things, and the doctor said, hey, it's serious, and we have to admit you right now. And so he went, drove from Texarkana to Little Rock, and then boom, you're here now, and you're going to be here through the Thanksgiving holiday. Well, it's hard not to be afraid, but in that time, when your heart, you feel the fear coming in, you can lean on the everlasting arms and know that the Lord will take care of you. He promises in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And I love how the scripture puts it. So Hebrews chapter 5, let your character be free from the love of money. We have lots of fears as it relates to financial things. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, not desiring more and more and more and more and more. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Now, in the Greek, they have that sentence has five negatives in it. I will not, never, never leave you. I will not, never forsake you. That makes for poor English, but it makes for great theology, because God is saying in such strong terms, you don't ever have to worry or fear that I'm going to desert you. I will never, no, never, no, never, never do that. So, says in verse 6, Hebrews 13, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? See, he has said, so that we may confidently say. That's what it means to walk by faith. It's to take what God says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's to take what God says and to cling to it and say, Lord, you promised. You said this, so I can confidently say, you are my helper, and I'm not going to be afraid. I'm just going to lean on the everlasting arms because, hey, what shall man do to me? When God is my shield, when God is my helper, when God is my protector, when God himself, the creator of the universe, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, when he is my great reward, he is my savior and king and friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's with me like a dread champion. He's the God who promises to take care of me. If I will walk in his ways, he will provide for all my needs. Now, if I don't walk in his ways, if I do what Adam did and hide from God, sin against God and hide from God, well, there is going to be fear. I have to get my life right with him, because there is no peace until I put my life at his feet. You know, we talked this week about Mary and Martha. Martha, busy, worried, and bothered with all her preparations. Her sister Mary, seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. She's in peace. She's blessed. And her sister is stressed, worried, and bothered. Hey, are you like Martha today? Worried and bothered about so many things? Or are you like Mary, seated at the Lord's feet, leaning on the everlasting arms? How is your fear factor? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls and talking about this issue of fear and encouraging one another. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. God has a word in your fear. He wants to bring calm to your heart. So call in, and let's talk after the break.
Paul writes, when one part of the body suffers, we suffer together. This is Bible League International, and the persecuted church around the world is paying a heavy price simply for following the Lord Jesus Christ. Warlocks burned down the home and shanty church that Emilio pastors in Chiapas, Mexico, near the border of Guatemala. And these male witches, they surrounded the homes of church members so they couldn't leave for 2 weeks. All of this because Christians oppose their pagan worship, but they lovingly share the gospel with those who persecute them. Listen, hundreds have come to Christ, and when I ask these heroes of the faith, how can we pray for you? They never say pray for an end to our suffering because they know God's working through it. What they pray for is that new believers will be able to endure and persevere under tremendous hardship, and you can do that when you can open your own Bible and be reminded of God's precious promises. $5 sends a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100. Please, in this season of giving, pray about it and then call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org.
Trump derangement syndrome was a virus that spread like COVID.
Yeah.
And CNN decided, you know what? We're not going to do news coverage anymore. We're going to go full board against Trump.
You're driving your business in the ground.
Yeah. That's why I think they should take this opportunity and go back to doing news instead of doing progressive propaganda.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What do you do after you write the best-selling book in the English language after the Bible? You write a sequel, of course. So many Christians today haven't heard, though, of Pilgrim's Progress 2. One, for that matter. All week on Haven Today, I'm Charles Morris. Join me for a series called Our Pilgrim Life.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9 says this, "You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Well, welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about your fear factor, my fear factor. How is your fear factor is the question. And God does not want us to be afraid. We kind of have a default setting toward fear. And as the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Not only are we prone to wander, we're also so prone to fear. And great men of faith have dealt with fear. You know, when Paul was on his ride from on the Mediterranean Sea from Caesarea Philippi to Rome, he was in a terrible storm. It was awful. And if you've ever been on a bad storm at sea, you know how frightening that can be. But the Lord came to him and sent an angel, and the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar." The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian perhaps who ever lived, he dealt with fear. Hey, if you're dealing with fear today, health fear, family fear, some issue, a fear of the future, as one lady told me, I just have a fear of life. Hey, The Lord says to you, do not be afraid. I will take care of you. I am your shield. I am your great reward. I will never leave you and never forsake you. Well, we're taking your calls as we talk about this subject of fear today to encourage one another in the Lord to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Because when our eyes are on Him, the fears melt away. When we're leaning on the everlasting arms, then we're safe and secure from all alarms. Well, we have Mary on the line from Texas. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be quick. Way back in the 70s, there was two escaped convicts going around three or four states. Wherever they landed, they would murder the people. Only one guy survived, and that's because he allowed them, has young people, to hunt on his land. The ex-wife of one lived down our country road. It was dirt and gravel, and the cops would go up and down. Helicopters would fly over. There was a little Baptist church on the corner. My kids had been going that week to Bible vacation school. And as I stood out in the yard to watch them walk that short distance and what was going on in the air and on the road, in the news, my husband left the rifle propped against the bedroom door. So in case, you know, they ended up in our area. Mm-hmm. Well, I stood out in that yard. And that song, What Have I to Dread? What Have I to Fear? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And to put it in perspective, we had other relatives who lived in the country. They went and stayed with people in town so they wouldn't be caught out alone. Well, the shootout finally happened, and it happened down the street where they thought was safety, when the sheriff and the suspects had a shootout. So it doesn't pay to run from what you're afraid of. Years ago, I was a Sunday school teacher in my 70s, and there was a poem that I decoupaged on a board because it was in a Sunday school lesson. Let not your heart be burdened with care, for God will give you great courage and answer your every prayer. And our courage and hope is in the scripture. You know, memorize that word of God. And I love the old hymns, songs. When I had a 10-day stay in the hospital, those songs brought me through each day that I was there. And I'm so thankful that God, we do have memories we want to forget, but there are memories that are precious. And I appreciate the Lord and all that He has done in my life.
Amen. God bless. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing that testimony. Yeah, we don't have anything to fear or dread. When we walk with the Lord, we know, hey, he's my protection, and no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly, Psalm 84:11, and God will see me through whatever issue I face. As Paul said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory. He said that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, soon after he had his head cut off. And you say, well, how did God didn't deliver him? Yeah, He did. He took him to heaven. Paul said in Philippians, I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. And so the Lord will deliver us. And sometimes He delivers before the fire, and sometimes He delivers in the fire, as He did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And sometimes He delivers after the fire, as He did with Paul, and He takes us to glory. But He is a deliverer, and we trust Him. We keep our eyes fixed on Him, and we don't have to fear. We just know He is with us. Well, thank you for calling in, Mary. Well, we have Alan on the line from North Carolina. Alan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and I apologize for calling in so much, but your subject today is something that I feel very passionate about. Now, if I could just kind of very briefly, I want to end up with some advice to people on how to deal with fear today. But as I recounted, I didn't become a Christian until I was 39. You know, I grew up a Methodist, but never heard the gospel until a Billy Graham crusade in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And after that, I really I was diagnosed with cancer of the kidney, and I was medevaced up to Walter Reed, and you know, it didn't look good for me. It was when this chaplain came in to talk to me, I just said, "Wait a minute, chaplain." I was a major at the time. I said, "Captain, let me tell you where I am. I'm in a win-win situation. You know, if I wind up dying, I'll be with the Lord. If not, I get to live for Him, and I really have no worries either way." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, you have quite a faith." And I was thinking, I was polite. I was thinking, "Well, you're the chaplain; you should know these things." But then the other situation was in being alerted and going to Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Involved in youth ministry, and I have kids, right? And then just say, "Oh, I'm so worried about you." And I would write them back and say the same thing. I'm in a win-win situation. If I'm killed, I'll get to be with the Lord. If not, I get to live for Him. And it's funny how even war or combat can take you, can spread the gospel. Because I started getting letters from Newville kids at Big Spring Middle School in Newville, Pennsylvania, and I wrote them the same thing. Well, they published some of my letters in the paper, and it made it as far west as California. You know, one of my, and it showed some of the kids holding up my letters, and one of them I said, "Andrea, do you love Jesus?" You know, but that was in the paper. But in the combat, I was almost killed twice, and the thing is about combat and keeping a clear mind is that, you know, you're part of a team, and it helps you to perform your duties efficiently. You know, if the bad guys had broken through, I had my own battle plan to where I was going to try to take out 26 of them. But as I said, the whole time is I had perfect peace in the whole situation. But you know, what people can do today is, first of all, commit your, you know, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make that your central rock. And then, don't have fear, but pray a Psalm 91 hedge of protection around the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and then speak the truth and stand for the truth. And again, we don't have to accept this outcome, or that a lot of people are thinking is God is the worker of miracles. And let's pray for revival in our country. That is the key.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate you sharing that. We don't need to be afraid. We need to be engaged for sure, but we don't need to have fear. I was thinking, as Alan was sharing, about the passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat is king in Judah, and he gets a report, "Hey, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out of Aram, and behold, they are in Engedi." Engedi is not that far away. It's kind of in between Jerusalem and Masada by the Dead Sea there. And they're coming up against you. It's three armies that have joined together to wipe you out. And it says Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he prayed. And I love his prayer. He praises God. He says, you know, aren't you not God in the heavens? Aren't you ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? And power is yours. And so he just reminds God, hey, God, I know that you're in charge. The greatest thing about his prayer is the end. And he says this in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. "O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." That is so key. Now, hey, we live in our world today in America, and many of us, we feel powerless to change anything that's going on. I'm extremely concerned about our elections have just become a joke, a cruel joke. Bill Federer was on just before me with Alex McFarland, and he was talking about the cheating that's taking place. And it's, you know, you can say, well, there's no evidence of cheating. The evidence of cheating is that you're setting up the system to cheat. You're putting in all these loopholes with machine counting and you know, all this stuff where you can't make a clear accounting of the ballot to the name and go back and audit the vote to know, hey, Jeff Shreve, this is his ballot. He's a valid voter. This is how he voted. And we tally that up. We need to get back to that. And so you say, well, what can I do? I'm just John Q. Public. What can I do to make a difference? And we can feel powerless. So we say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to see our country go down the tubes to lies and sin and corruption. But we're watching that. And if you desire to have a free country for your children and grandchildren, which we do, we say, well, what can we do? We're powerless in this situation, many of us, but we can pray and we can call on God, and God is in charge, because as Jehoshaphat said at the beginning of his prayer, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And when you get your eyes on the Lord, then you get them off your problems, off your cancer diagnosis, off your marriage issue, off your family disaster, off your unemployment. You get your eyes on the Lord, the God who can do anything. And fixing our eyes on Jesus, it says in Hebrews, the author and perfecter of faith. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, as we talk about the issue of fear. And we have Alice on the line from Oklahoma. Alice, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
About 20-some years ago, when my granddaughter was born, my daughter almost died. And while we were so concerned about her and sitting with her, the Lord was faithful and brought her through. But she was up in ICU. The baby was down in the NICU and not doing well either. And I needed to go back and forth between them. And it was I don't know how many floors, but I had to take an elevator down. And I did not like to ride elevators, especially by myself. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And I heard him say, if you can't trust me for this, what can you trust me for? And I thought, okay. So the whole time she was there, which was 3 weeks, went up and down to see, take care of doing what I needed to do for the baby and to come back up and take care of her. And God saw us through, and they both did well. And now my granddaughter lives with me, and it's a real blessing.
Well, that's a great testimony. So why were you so afraid of elevators?
I don't know. I had gone through a lot of trauma and had anxiety a lot in my life, but that was a real turning point. And now I don't have the fear that I used to have. God has just been so faithful to me.
Mm. That is so good. Well, thank you for sharing that, Alice. And, you know, a lot of times the Lord will put us in situations where it's like, I'm going to break this fear out of you, and you're going to feel the fear, but we're going to do it anyway, and you're going to see that I am faithful. And, man, that's a good word and a good word of encouragement. Many people don't realize, but in my life, I had a tremendous fear of public speaking. I did not like doing that at all. My heart would beat so fast. I still remember when I was in college and they tapped me to be the college MC for our Sunday school class. Man, I would wear a tie and my tie would be bouncing up and down because my heart was beating so hard because I was so nervous about getting in front of, it was about 120 people, getting in front of that group to share the announcements. And so the Lord, you know, the more you do it, the more you see, hey, God leads me through. And if you stumble, that's okay. You just get back up. A righteous man falls seven times and rises again. And God is faithful. And what God calls you to, he'll see you through. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'd love to take your call as we talk about the subject of fear. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net. AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And I'd love to connect with you on Twitter at Jeff Shreve, JeffShreve. Well, we're talking about fear this morning on the program, and the question, how is your fear factor? All of us deal with fear. We're very familiar with the issue of fear, but the scripture says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. We're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. And we have Ann on the line from Arkansas. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I don't know if I ever got a chance to talk to you, I wanted to tell you how glad I was the Lord led you to do the hour-long program. It has been a real encouragement to me. So thank you for the time and effort you're putting in.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
Yeah. If I ever get to Texarkana, I'm going to come to your church.
Well, good. What part of Arkansas are you in?
I'm close to Little Rock.
Okay. Not too far.
Yeah. Not that far. So maybe someday.
Yeah.
My question is this. Earlier in the year, I was facing some serious health challenges, and it was scary, and I was afraid. And I'm in a really good place spiritually and mentally now, but it was a process to work through that. And I had called a very good friend, and I was looking for prayer and for comfort. And I kind of got an admonition from her, and like I say, she's a good friend and a Christian for a long time, and I really trusted her advice, but she said, fear is unbelief, and unbelief is sin. And I didn't feel very comforted. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, maybe I need to repent of my fear. But, you know, in the beginning, it didn't feel very comfortable, and I was still fearful. And mm-hmm. I was asking the Lord to help me. So I don't know. Was she taking me down the right road, or
well,
do I have repented? Do I need to?
I think fear is a normal response to things. So Abram's a man of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He's a man of faith, but the Lord had to come to him and say, do not fear, Abram. I am your shield. Paul, a man of great faith, and the Lord had to say to him, do not be afraid, Paul. So yes, if our heart is filled with fear, it's not filled with faith. And the Lord does tell us, mm-hmm. do not fear. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. So in that sense, it's like when the Lord tells us, hey, you don't need to be afraid because I'm here. So I think about Peter walking on the water. He was doing well, and it says, and seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. Lord, save me. And the Lord said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you fear? And so there is a sense of, if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to feel fear, but we don't walk in fear. And so I think, Anne, a better way to look at that for your situation was, hey, I understand how you're battling fear, but keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Just know that peace is, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And when we're really seated at his feet, listening to his word, as Mary was, Luke chapter 10, then we don't have to be worried and bothered. We just know God is going to take care of me through this. So I think if I'm you and I get that diagnosis, then I'm on the battle lines with fear, and I have a choice to make every single day. Am I going to choose to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, or am I going to see the wind and the waves as Peter did? Because if I look on the wind and the waves, I'm going to sink. I have to keep looking to Jesus. Is that helpful?
Good word. Thank you.
Yeah. So you're doing well now?
I am doing better. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Not the situation's not completely resolved, but I'm in such a better place because I have gone through those battle lines, and I have come to a place of greater faith and trust in the Lord, and he's been so good to me. How can I not praise him? I'm not afraid anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. Yes. So I just look at it this way. I think the Lord is very gentle with us. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. He doesn't browbeat us. And, you know, and even like with Peter, when he said, you know, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He stretched out his hand and picked him up. He's not scolding Peter like, you know, you worthless disciple. He's not saying that. Peter was the only one that had faith enough to get out of the boat. So I think it's better to see the Lord as saying, listen, I understand your fear, but you don't need to be afraid. You just need to trust me. And if we keep wallowing in fear, so many people did that with COVID. I think that the Lord says, do you not see that I'm in charge of your life? And then that becomes a wound in the heart of God when we continue to worry and fear, because that just says to God, I think that things are outside of your control, and I don't think you're able to take care of me. We don't ever want to give that message to the Lord. We want to say, Lord, I know you're in control, and I know I can trust you. So
I will just add, I was in a spiritually weak place in the beginning, and through the journey, you know, he's brought me out to the other side. Although not resolved, I'm in a much stronger place and wanting to do more for him and serve him. So, you know, the journey's been a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is a good thing. And, hey, no one walks with God perfectly without ever having a stumble. So don't ever beat yourself up when you give way to fear. Just know, hey, I'm not walking, my eyes aren't on the Lord because I'm afraid, and so I need to get them back on the Lord, because he keeps us in perfect peace, Isaiah 26 verse 3, when our mind is fixed on him. And so I appreciate that, Ann. Thank you so much for calling in today, and thank you for your word of encouragement to me. Well, we have Emilio on the line from Texas. Emilio, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you so much. This is for the glory of God. I was born again in 1979. Right after that, the battle began. Anxiety took over. I suffered with it for 21 years, but during those years, I got to serve the Lord in many ways, especially in mission work and in radio, but I still suffered, and I just used to think that I didn't have enough faith. That was my problem, because the Bible does say, you know, God does not give us a spirit of fear. Regardless, through all the suffering and all the learning, I was diagnosed with social anxiety disorder, and my doctor said it is a chemical that it is produced in your spinal cord that goes up to your brain. He said, you're not getting enough of that. I said, is that all it is? He said, yes. He said, take this medication. And I did. I took it for 2 years. I don't take it anymore, and now I'm completely delivered man. I'm even a pastor.
Amen.
And I put a stop to that. So for those who are suffering with anxiety, don't be afraid to take medication. It's all right. God will deliver you either way.
Mm. That's a good word. So, you know, no, none of us think twice if we have high blood pressure, taking blood pressure medication. If we have some issues with our blood, we might take some blood thinners, that kind of thing. So I agree with you, Emilio. If there's some kind of chemical imbalance or deficiency, you take the medicine that will help you, because otherwise you don't have much of a fighting chance. Not everything is a spiritual issue. Sometimes it's a physical issue. You know, I think about Elijah when he was running from Jezebel, 1 Kings 19. You know, he had some physical issues in addition to his spiritual issue, and the Lord dealt with the physical before he dealt with the spiritual. He put him to sleep and he fed him, because those things, you're not going to be able to fight the spiritual battle when you are depleted physically. And so, it's good to, if you're having a battle like Emilio had with anxiety, it's good to go to the doctor and get that checked out. And if you do have a chemical deficiency, to get that fixed. So God bless you, my brother. May he bless you as you preach his word, and may bless your church. So thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Michael on the line from Texas. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm sorry, Vicky. Vicky from Virginia.
Hello, Pastor. We're so grateful that you're on for this hour.
Thank you.
I have a question. You referenced Jehoshaphat and how they fasted before they went on to conquer. And I was just talking to some ladies in our Bible study, and actually some men in our home group, and they didn't think that fasting was as important as praying. Of course, praying for our country and our elections and things like that. But I think, am I right in thinking that fasting is another way of asking God sincerely and showing him that we're focusing on him for answers and for protection? You know, for our country, it just doesn't seem like people take fasting as seriously as they used to. And right. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, I think you're right in thinking that. And, you know, I've preached before, and fasting is a hard thing for me to do, just in all honesty, you know, to deny yourself And some people say, well, you fast from social media or fast from this and that. But fasting in the Bible is from food. And so we're not going to eat. And I think about Nineveh. You know, when they heard the message that yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown, what did the king do? He declared a fast. Nobody's going to eat or drink anything. And we're going to call upon the Lord. And so fasting is, to me, it's a way to turbocharge your prayers. It says to the Lord, I am serious about this prayer. This isn't a flippant little, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. This is, I am getting really, really serious with you. God notices that. And he notices when we're serious and when we're just kind of going through the motions. And so to me, Vicky, fasting says, God, I'm not going through the motions of this. I am all in and I am focused on you and I'm asking you to work a miracle in this situation.
Oh, good. I don't want to sound self-righteous in this because I'm not the only one who thought of it, but it would be really good if the pastors and churches would talk more about that and the seriousness of it and overcoming fear and giving your fear to God. And, you know, through fasting, it helps you to focus on his power.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, you know, I mean, people can get, they can get blown away with it. It's like, how could I fast for 3 days? But hey, fast for lunch. Start off small. Just say, hey, I'm gonna take my lunch hour. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm serious about seeking you. I need you in this situation. And so, Vicki, I think you're spot on. And it's a good word for my own heart. So I thank you for that. And I thank you for calling in today. Well, we have just a couple of minutes. We have Michael from Texas. Michael, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It's a pleasure to hear from you, talk with you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I had two fears. My first fear, I think, was responsibility with my family and obligations and the blessings that God had given me. And I started to drink way too much, became an alcoholic, and then finally submitted to the Lord's. I cried out to God, and he answered and took it away. And then I guess my second fear is being locked up, having my freedom taken away. And, you know, I just wanted to ask you, so I dream about being locked up and it, I always wake up, you know, it's a bad dream when I dream being locked up. And, I was a correction officer for 10 years, almost 10 years. And then I did some time. So I'm not sure if God's just putting that on my heart to deal with and give over to him, but I'll hang up and listen to your response. Pleasure to hear from you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. Appreciate you calling in. Well, I would just say when you feel yourself fearing, just go back to the word. Use that not to beat yourself up, but use it more like an alarm clock that goes off that says, okay, you're focused on the wrong thing. The Bible says, Isaiah 26:3, that you will keep him, you meaning God. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. And so just know as I keep, when I'm fearing, I'm not trusting him. So I need to get my eyes back on the Lord and I need to trust him and I need to cast that burden on him and knowing that he will sustain me. And that's how we walk with God. We just trust him moment by moment, day by day. When we feel ourselves sinking into fear, we give it to him. We cast that burden on him again. All of us have a tendency to take burdens back. So we keep those things before him and we trust him. Hey, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. For tomorrow, we have Randy Alcorn, prolific author, as we talk about the subject of heaven. You don't want to miss it. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.